Welcome everyone to What the Force, and welcome to a new episode of Clone Wars Special Report. I'm Marie-Claire Gould, and with me today is Kyle Gould.
Yes, it is indeed good to be back. While all the others have fallen to the wayside, my plans for this podcast and Kenobi will finally be achieved.
Pretty good, wow. Maul.
Maul, beautiful.
And also with me.
Hi, I'm Robin. I do stuff and appear here sometimes.
Yep, Robin has decided to join us for at least this episode, and we'll see if we can get her involved in the other ones. But she actually watched this Clone Wars episode with us, and so...
Ahsoka's not dead. Of course, it's illegal for her to die.
What are you, Dave Filoni?
You know I don't know who that is.
He's the creator of the Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff, and basically Ahsoka's dad with George Lucas. All right, well, on to Clone Wars Special Report. Let's ask what general impressions of this episode are. Robin, you can start.
It felt like, oh yeah, this is definitely like where we left off last time in Clone Wars.
Yeah, like it was picking up very much from, yeah. And it's right near the end of like the Clone Wars, because Anakin and Obi-Wan are leaving to go and rescue Chancellor Palpatine in the Coruscant fight that happens in Revenge of the Sith, which we have actually covered. Do you remember when they left and go and rescue him off the ship?
Yes.
Okay, so what did you think of Ahsoka in this episode? Because this is like primarily driven from her perspective.
She is awesome. There's like this scene where she like doesn't use a jetpack and she just like runs along the ships and...
Yeah.
That was pretty epic.
We're going to get there. We go scene by scene with the show. But where we start off is a completely different entrance than the show has had for this entire season.
What the what? That's all I have to say. I was like, what is going on?
A Lucasfilm production. And then
a Lucasfilm Limited production. Yes. Not with any logo or anything, just like a green,
which is the classic
Comic Sans font.
Yeah, from the 1997, when the extended editions came out, that was the logo before the movie started.
It was a total throwback.
Yeah,
it was like it even receded away, pulling back.
Yeah,
which it had never done before,
and it was red.
Yeah, and I was like, what? It's never been red. I've never seen it red before. This is new.
And I'm like, no.
Like, what? No, like, it's not. Come on. It's not.
No, and the music does change for different circumstances. So, for example, I think that why they used the main theme for this entrance was to indicate that this is getting closer and closer to the actual movie time and actually is going to be overlapping the movies. And that's why they changed the overall appearance to kind of reflect that. And any time that Maul enters scene left officially, they change the logo to look red because it's like his color, right?
But only on stage left.
Only, yeah, not on stage right. We don't include stage right. Never stage right. Yes. But this is the big, like, hey, we get to see Maul for the first time in many episodes. And so
In an eternity.
And it is entering the last four episodes of this season, which is called The Siege of Mandalore, which is cool.
They better take Mandalore back.
So what did you think of this episode, Kyle?
Wow. This is a... If I thought that the first one, the Bad Batch, all combined together into this really kind of interesting story, not so much a movie, then you move into the Ahsoka quartet with the Mendez sisters. Mm-hmm. That was a movie.
Martez sisters.
Yeah, with the Martez sisters. That was a movie. Like it flowed from one scene to the next to the next. This had all of the trappings of the Clone Wars movie that came out way back in the day. Like,
yeah, it very much felt like it's going to be like kind of bookending the Clone Wars series like that.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It had the biggest panoply of music that we've had for an introduction. And it really told you right from the opening credits, this is different from what you've seen from the regular vignette shows. This is going to be special. because they played main themes right off the get-go, the opening music right from the get-go, mm-hmm. and introduced you to important things right away.
Well, and also they had scenes directly from Revenge of the Sith in the kind of recap with the narrator. So it really set your expectations that this is going to overlap with Revenge of the Sith. Additionally, the music, the animation was all, it felt the smoothest it had felt even this season. And it is absolutely the best animation that we have seen in the show ever.
Obi-Wan, so smooth.
So smooth.
His beard was so smooth.
Well, and like the movements of Ahsoka too, like especially when she's fighting, that animation is beautiful. It is beautiful animation.
Oh, definitely. Lightsaber's looking Gucci,
yes. Also the music, we had several cues that felt like as if John Williams had created them, so maybe they were even direct orchestrations from John Williams' previous cues, so reorchestrated for Clone Wars. We had the main theme, we had the battle main theme, so that's the dun, 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 dun. We had that, and we also had
which is also the opening note to Blinding Lights from the Weeknd, just so you know.
Oh really? Da, 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 da. Oh yeah.
and sorry,
we've been watching a lot of TikTok.
Maybe too much TikTok.
maybe too much TikTok.
So okay, I started writing my notes right away. My notes go: music, what? Logo, what? What is Lucasfilm Limited Production ... red? It goes back. No fortune cookie? What is going on?
Fortune cookie?
All in caps. Where's my fortune cookie, Star Wars?
I guess there's really no lesson to be learned from this.
What?
Oh, no. You can't play me like that.
I don't know. Well, okay. So, question. Did the movie, the Clone Wars movie, have a fortune cookie?
I don't recall.
It probably didn't. Right? I think the fortune cookie was introduced to the show. So this is meant to be a capper movie, and so probably won't have one.
I think that just from the get-go of this then, based on the discussion we had upstairs earlier about what's happening for season 8, will there be more, tells me that this is saying, no, this is the end. If they're not even going to give us a fortune cookie.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of people have been talking about how, you know, is this done? Could they go back? And they entirely can go back because, you know, Clone Wars is non-linear. They could tell things from the past. However, if they do want to kind of, one of the biggest regrets Dave Filoni always had was not being able to finish Clone Wars in a way that worked. And so he worked very, very hard to have a end to Rebels that was satisfactory, and even had an epilogue, which had never been done in Star Wars before. So I think that we might not see any more Clone Wars after this, just because he wants to be able to actually end it in a way that is meaningful and valuable, and this is his opportunity to do it. So that's my thoughts, at least. All right, let's dig into the show.
Old friends not forgotten. Okay, yes. Who are these old friends? Who has not forgotten?
I think it's different people at different times. Because, like, Bo-Katan helped out Obi-Wan before. Anakin and Obi-Wan to Ahsoka. Ahsoka to Obi-Wan and Anakin. Is Maul a friend?
Darth Maul and Gar Saxon.
Yeah, like, they friends, I guess.
Maul doesn't have friends.
Yeah, he does. He kind of does.
He tries. He tries hard.
Yeah.
He tries. There's actually something from the trailer that I do want to bring up near the end of the show, but there's a scene where Maul and Ahsoka are working together. So I think that that's where they're leading with the Order 66, which happens during the course of Revenge of the Sith a few days later in this.
Ew, Maul working with Ahsoka.
Why? What's so bad about an enemy working with somebody? Enemies working together.
I had the same problem with Ezra and Maul working together.
Mm. Oh.
I just...
Because of the corruption that Maul presents.
Right.
Also, Ahsoka is my baby.
Well, we get to see a lot more Ahsoka at the end of Rebels. Mm-hmm. Spoiler warning for those who haven't seen Rebels. Go watch Rebels already. Why are you listening to this?
Yeah.
I need to watch all of Rebels.
Okay, I'm pissed, though.
Okay.
Because I'm so mad at Yul Larin. Like, I know that he's not actually the narrator, but he is.
Yeah.
Because that's the exact same voice, the exact same cadence and intonation.
Yeah.
And so let's just picture this
it's
as
his Hollow Knot Radio podcast.
Yeah. Or
the War Report.
Yeah. The War Report or the Clone Wars. Like, there was in the 1600s, there was a captain of a ship, and he wrote in a journal every single day for his entire life. And they have the history of all of these things. They drive back to his diaries and his journals. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to assume that the Clone Wars and what we've seen for all the episodes are really just Yul Larin's recollections and Yul Larin's writing downs. And maybe none of these things actually happened with the same panoply and awesomeness that we think they happen from the TV show. It's just because that's him just, you know, glossing up his diary for publication down the road. But I digress.
But I mean, it's presented in a war newsreel format, right? So like with the quick clips and showing people heroically with the over thing. So it frames things, but what we experience on the inside of the episode is always very different than how it's framed at the beginning.
Yes.
So I think that the war newsreel is more what they've been going for. And it's like Yul Larin's like the spokesperson of the Republic, which is just bizarro.
Oh, I hate him so much. But I will point this out.
Okay.
I hate him even more now.
Okay.
Because I've conflated the two people together, the narrator and Yul Larin.
Okay.
And he called him evil droid General Grievous. Look, only three of those words are right. Grievous is not a droid.
No, he's...
Grievous is a living being, a cyborg, if you will. But he called him evil droid General Grievous. I'm not happy.
It's a judgment call.
You wartime reports taking out the humanity all of the Grievous.
All the propaganda there.
He exists.
He is a corporal being that is that has added tech to his body in order to
state
off the ravages, you know, of his diseases or
propaganda
whatever.
Propaganda happens in war.
Oh.
And that's definitely something that's going on. So,
but you pointed out something else too. We're still in the initial here because we get a clip of someone we haven't seen in Clone Wars before.
Oh.
We get a shot because they've been including these things, making you think, oh, it's just past. Like this season especially has made you think that when they do the initial War Report piece, that they're just showing you stuff that has happened in previous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happens here, because we clearly see new footage of things, because we see, I can't remember who his master is. Syndulla? Is that the master's name?
Oh, no. So we see Depa Baloba and Caleb Doom.
I know.
In the Jedi Council room, we see a clip like there, which if you have read the
Caleb?
Caleb Doom, who ends up being Kanan.
Oh, I didn't know that he changed his name. I thought his name was always Kanan.
No, he changed his name.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So his original name as a Padawan was Caleb Doom, and he was the Padawan of Depa Baloba.
Doom,
yeah.
Wow.
D-U-M-E.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not as ominous now. Actually, kind of silly.
He was a baby. I was like, oh, baby Kanan. I think you heard me say.
Yes, that's what you said. And I was like, what?
Yeah, baby Kanan. he's little. And he goes through Order 66, and we actually get to see that happen in a comic. So it's pretty cool to see that all play out.
What is Order 66?
You know when at the end of Revenge of the Sith, the Emperor's like, execute Order 66, and all the clones like snap and start to shoot the Jedi and kill all the Jedi?
Oh, right.
That's what's happening.
We're about to get that potentially in this movie.
That's why you were reacting when I said Maul and Ahsoka had to work together.
I'm going to cry, Mom. No.
I don't know. Neither of them are Jedi.
Oh, they're Force users.
I just wonder what the chip means and how it plays out.
It's like, what is the programming on the chip?
And you talk about Maul and Ahsoka. I am more concerned about good old Captain Rex. and how, because he's around afterwards, what happens with Order 66 for him?
Well, we do see him talk about it.
Yep.
In Rebels, he said we always have a choice, and he's like, me and the boys removed our chips. So perhaps,
but when did that happen?
I don't know. So maybe it was with Tup and all of the stuff that happened with Tup.
Yep.
And them realizing that there were chips in them.
Yeah, man, that's not cool. Don't put chips in people.
Well, that's what causes the Order 66 to happen.
Or as Jamie Oliver says, chips go in your gob, not your head.
What?
I've been watching a lot of TV during
TikTok,
quarantine time.
Cooking shows, especially Jamie Oliver. This is my life now. All right, so let's get into it. Obi-Wan is stuck on a bridge, pinned down. His forces, Commander Cody, is pinned down.
No,
and he's like,
Kobe.
Where's Captain Rex?
The frick.
I love it. Obi-Wan leaps in, saves the day, looking all dramatic and cool. And then immediately
his beard is
like,
looking exceptional with this animation.
Nice. He's using the right type of oil, I think, is really what it is now. He's got that beard oil going smooth.
Yeah.
Where did they get that? I need to know.
But I love how he leaps in to save the day, knocks the thing away, and he's like, okay, everyone hide. We're pinned down. I'm like, did you dramatically leap in? Just
dramatically hide? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Anakin shows up. And he doesn't even hide. He just kind of like, you know, moves a little bit out of the way of blaster bolts. It is unconcerned in a way.
Yes.
Because he has a plan.
He has become Neo.
Basically, he is the chosen one. Like, this is the Anakin has now reached his, what we would consider his full potential in the Force and et cetera, because he is very confident and with the Force. That is what this is showing us.
So did he come across as confident to you, Robin? How did he come across for you?
I could tell that he is slowly evil.
Mm.
Slowly.
Why? What indicated that?
It's just like him not caring that he is in danger and like telling Obi-Wan off, because that's not something like in past seasons he does a lot.
It's true.
Yeah, I think Master Yoda got it wrong. Master Yoda should have been like, confidence leads to arrogance. Arrogance leads to condescension.
I mean, pride. Double the pride, double the fall, right?
Twice as long lasting flavor.
It's weird how the dark side users are always right.
Right-handed?
No, just like, you know, correct. Like Dooku's like, double the pride, double the fall.
True, yes. They definitely, they speak from experience.
Yes. So Anakin shows up. He has a plan to have the 501st, which is his legion, hide underneath. And they all have jetpacks now. Where'd they get the jetpacks?
I don't know. They saw the Rise of Skywalker and they're like, whoa, come on.
We can fly now?
I actually think it has to do with the fact that they've allied with the Mandos.
But they weren't Mandos.
I know. Right? So it's like you kind of...
They're an experimental thing. They're just trying them out. What I love is Rex has a very different jetpack look.
Yes.
So he's got his own style. I loved Rex so much.
Yes. I loved Rex as well. But the one line I wrote down for the entire episode happened just before all the jetpacks happened and they flew in. And
well, yeah, no, I know.
Things.
But Anakin walks out.
Yeah.
And it mirrors the scene with Luke walking out to the First Order.
Right.
In TLJ. And everybody has been pointing this out. And I just loved it because it was like daddy like son, you know, like they have that same vibe going on, which
they
is just
the
nice.
They got confidence.
Yes, yes, yes. They are the hero of the hour, which is kind of nice to see. And we also get a really nice R2 Rex moment.
Oh, such a good R2 moment.
Yeah. R2's like peeking up over top of the bridge.
Is that the only thing R2 does?
Yes.
And greets Ahsoka when she comes aboard the ship.
But that's about it.
Yes.
Oh man, R2, you're lacking your style, man.
There's a lot of characters going on now.
I know.
In a 23 to 26 minute episode. So they have to...
They still managed to give everybody kind of like a moment, which is really good too.
Yes.
Okay, and what's the line?
Here's the line.
Okay.
I want to use it in a role-playing game at some point because it's just so good.
Okay.
It goes, if you want, I can hide here with you and we can let the people of the city suffer more. Or sorry, suffer longer. Like, what?
Was that what made you think he was evil?
He's low-key evil, man.
Oh, like low-key or low-key Odin's brother?
Low-key, like low-key, not Odin's brother.
Not high-key, low-key. Okay.
Low-key.
Yeah. Little bit of evil. Just a tiny bit. Well, no, I mean, I would say he's efficient.
He's evil.
Yeah, he's really efficient. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just confidence can come across as arrogance sometimes. Yep. And yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so the tactical droid comes out. Anakin and Obi-Wan basically have to do nothing while the clones are able to actually overrun the droids and save the day. They get the urgent communique from Yularen to come back to the ship immediately because there's somebody they for sure want to talk to.
God, does the guy, is he, like, he just can't keep a secretary is what I think it is. He can't keep an underling, an assistant, or an executive administrator. He can't keep them long enough, and he always does all that work himself. Like, why is a general...
Admiral?
Yeah, why is... Yeah. He's in charge of everything, and yet he's still hailing random passing ships. He's still calling about distress messages.
I mean, it's kind of nice that, like... He knew, right, how important Ahsoka was.
Yes.
He just was like, oh, I'll deliver this message myself. Because normally it's like a clone that would deliver a message to one of the people.
Fair. No, you're absolutely right. I just still like my headcanon that Yularen is too hard to work with. He can't keep anybody underneath him.
And he becomes like an IS, like an internal security officer.
Yeah.
Eventually. And so like he has to go through tons of communiques.
Exactly.
Okay, so they come back to the ship, they walk in, and surprise, surprise, Ahsoka via Holo.
Just before they come back, though, I'm sad for Obi-Wan.
Yeah?
Because he's finally reached a point where he's like, no, Anakin, we are peers now. We're peers.
Yeah.
I'm no longer the teacher. There's no need to keep track of all these things that I tried to teach you. You've learned them all. You've earned your stripes.
Mm-hmm.
You cut your Padawan braid. You're a master now, not just a knight. Or no, he's not even a master yet because they wouldn't give him his masterhood.
Yeah. But that happens after the fight on Coruscant.
Yeah. So it's like Anakin says, your state of helplessness really sold them on my surrender. Like, just rubbing it in ever further. But Obi-Wan, he just lets that roll off of him. And he says, always glad to help, my friend.
Yeah, I think that the circumstances are extreme, right? Like, the war is what it is. And it's pushing... It definitely shows all of the imperfections in the system, which is the humanity, right?
Yep.
Humanity gets in the way.
And then... The one quizzical, because we watched this episode together, which hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it was big.
Super big moment here. We watched the episode together. And they introduce the person who's distress called as Fulcrum.
Yeah, this one confused me. So we do know that Saw Gerrera is, you know, doing an insurgence on Onderon. So he's still doing his thing and he ends up becoming one of the rebels eventually. But they call him Fulcrum. Ahsoka helped set him up for success. So maybe that was their way of communicating or something like that. I don't know. It wasn't something that was brought up in the original Clone Wars. So it was interesting that Ahsoka also used that term.
That she's now become Fulcrum.
Which is a big thing from
Rebels.
Rebels, yeah.
Robin's like, there wasn't any kissing or talking, and it was really weird.
What?
The whole Fulcrum thing? Did that make any sense to you too?
I haven't even watched like half of Rebels, so don't ask me. I don't even know who half the people y'all talk about is.
You bet.
Yeah.
And that is the end of scene one. Boom. Yeah. The longest scene to date for the whole, all of the Clone Wars that I've been tracking.
Lots of setup.
What a scene.
It was like they were like, we're not going to get much Anakin and Obi-Wan, so we better get some Anakin and Obi-Wan in.
It was powerful. It was awesome. I loved that whole bridge setting.
Yeah.
It was just a great scene all around and kind of closes off the first act as well of this
episode. Yeah.
I believe I said something like, it's the Golden Gate Bridge of Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very long bridge.
Yeah. Which is funny because in San Francisco, where Lucasfilm headquarters is like right beside the Golden Gate Bridge in the Presidio.
Inspiration much?
Yeah, there's a lot of bridges in Star Wars.
Yeah. Without railings. Were there railings, Kyle?
No.
There were not
railings. There were no railings.
There was kind of railings.
No?
There was like an edge.
Yeah, there was definitely a lip up, but not a railing.
Not a railing, yeah.
It was not a good bridge. But I mean, it was also... I don't even know where they were.
Yeah, it was hard to tell.
Somewhere.
Okay. They said a bunch of planet names, and I was like, what?
They said it in the intro thing, I think. But
yeah, they said the planets that they were on
in the
system, and I'm like, what?
So now we're into scene two.
Yeah.
And I really want to ask, because I think it's super relevant and important, and I think it's different for both of them as well, but how do you see them? Anakin and Ahsoka. What is that relationship? I mean, it's much more complicated, much more familial than just Master Padawan, right? Between Obi-Wan and Anakin, it was almost like older brother, younger brother.
Yeah.
But friends, like the older brother always trying to be friends with the younger brother while trying to teach him stuff. And the younger brother saying, I don't need to learn this from you. You're not my superior sort of thing. So,
yeah.
What's the relationship between Anakin and Ahsoka to you, Robin?
Oh, that's hard. They're really close as friends. Because like I know the ship exists, but I don't feel like the ship is a thing that would happen.
Hmm.
It's more like we are really close as friends, but also not as friends. It's like a old pal and like kind of... the sibling vibe too, I guess.
Yeah, like I definitely get the older brother, younger sister vibe from them.
I get almost a stepdad.
Oh, interesting.
Stepdad, teenage stepdaughter vibe.
Interesting.
Like she loves him dearly because he's been there for her. He supports her. He's not real dad. He's stepdad. And so the relationship is much more one of choice than one of forced biology.
Mm.
And so that I've always seen it from that light. So for me, this scene was really powerful and important and special because he's talking to his like adopted daughter again for the first time. And his questions are all exactly the questions I would have asked in the order I probably would have asked them.
Yep.
What were his questions? I can't remember.
He says, how are you? Doesn't let her answer. Where are you? Doesn't let her answer. Are you okay?
Yeah. Like getting to the most important one.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Your daughter calls. She was out at a party. But why is she calling at 2 o'clock in the morning? How are you? Where are you? Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's good.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that a stepdad asks more than maybe a protective older brother.
Yeah, it definitely felt you're right. It definitely had that fatherly feel.
Yeah, that's definitely the vibe.
Yeah.
Family.
It definitely was family, which was nice. And later on when she brings up that she was on Obadiah, where the Pikes were,
I'm sorry, every time you say Obadiah, I go, life goes on. Golly, all my life goes on.
A little Beatles interlude. But later when she brings that up, he like, wait, what were you doing on Obadiah? Yeah. Like, so it continues on.
What were you doing in Compton?
Yeah, like, what were you doing across the tracks?
Yeah. Robbins is like, is this how it's going to be for me?
I don't get this.
Well, Ahsoka's finally gone off on her own. She's doing her own thing. But that doesn't mean that her parents and her dad doesn't care about her.
No, I don't get the references. I get what you mean.
Oh, okay.
But you're making references I don't understand.
That's fair. Because we're old people.
Yep.
Why did you invite me?
And then the script bugs me again.
Yeah.
But they call him Darth Maul.
What else do they call him? He hasn't really clarified his surname to them or his honorific.
Let's go to the mall. Master.
Let's go to the mall.
Let's go to the mall. Boop, 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 boop. Yeah. So what did you think of their interaction? Like, so definitely Anakin was emoting a lot, right? Like, he really wanted to express how much things meant to him. He wanted to say, like, you know, how are you? And Ahsoka's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't have a lot of time. We're coming to you.
Let's catch up later. We gotta go.
Yeah. I didn't call to ask how you were. I just need $2,000.
Yeah.
Well, what do you need the money? No, you don't get to ask that question. I just need $2,000. I mean, I need an entire battalion.
And like, the thing is, Obi-Wan is also kind of a parent to her too, yes. Right? So he's definitely like
he's mom.
Mom, yeah. Because like, mom says no.
Mom says no all the time, right? Wait, who says more no often? Mm. Who says no more often?
Mom.
Oh.
Dad's sure.
Am I the Obi-Wan in this relationship?
Yeah, well, I'm the professional improviser, so it's my like job in life to say yes.
So you're definitely the Anakin.
My job is a relationship manager. So my client asks me something, my job is to say yes. I've just been literally trained for the last decade to say yes to everything that's asked of me.
That's why you're so great at improv.
Maybe.
I've learned something about myself today. I didn't think I was Obi-Wan Kenobi, but here we are.
you're the Obi-Wan.
Yay, I get to be Ahsoka. Who's my little brother? Who's Will?
Ezra.
Oh,
aww.
Yeah.
Yep. Your job to train him in the Force.
Oof.
Cool.
Oh, right. You died.
Okay. Well, it is not an episode of Clone Wars this season if there isn't a hangar scene.
I know, right? What is Clone Wars without a hangar?
Because they recognize that while maybe the people at this table like a certain type of ship, there are other people out there in the world who love Star Wars because of the sort of ships you find in hangars.
The spaceships.
Exactly. All of the proper ships, as they would call them, not relationships.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so we get the Mandalorian craft that lands into the hangar, and R2, super excited family dog, mm-hmm. comes and greets Ahsoka.
Oh my god, beautiful music.
Beautiful moment. And Ahsoka reaches out and touches R2's dome.
Yep.
Cry.
Cry.
Anakin's like, I got you a present. Now is not the time. But I got the... Okay. And then they have a little moment, Anakin and Obi-Wan, where Anakin's like, it all makes sense now. That's why she got kicked out of the academy. That's
the
why
force is-
the force is just directing her. I can see it all in hindsight. It makes perfect sense. I'll justify all of the actions to make everything fit.
And make everything okay, right? But no, Obi-Wan's like, I don't think this is going to go the way you think, Anakin.
No. Obi-Wan says, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Because what do they want? They want Ahsoka to come back.
It's such a mom's no. It's like, do you think that I'm going to get invited to so-and-so's birthday party?
Maybe.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, mom, stop.
I don't want to be Obi-Wan.
Too bad.
Oh, but it's nice to see Anakin so unsure, because he goes from that heightened level of confidence, I can solve all the world's problems, I know the answer,
a young woman? No answers.
Yep. I think.
But the thing is, like, he himself wants to have those feminine connections. That's why, like, Padme is so important to him, and Ahsoka and his mom, right? Like, those are the things that he craves the most in the world. And those are the things that are constantly taken from him.
And I would say putting one over on Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah. That's just, you know, pure pleasure, though, on his side.
That's
seeking,
just a hobby.
Seeking feminine connections is something that Anakin is always trying to do.
Okay.
Like, okay.
Shmi, Padme, Ahsoka. And they're always taken from him.
That lady assassin. Shifter. He just wanted to get a coffee. Talk about choices she'd made in life.
You mean from Attack of the Clones?
Yeah. This podcast is changing me. I keep making Attack of the Clones reference.
Get away while you can, Dad.
They go and have a conversation and
around a planning table because war. Cause,
yeah, no, with holograms, we gotta do that, right?
There's and, a war here.
Yeah, we get that great moment with Anakin being like, "Oh, wait, Obadiah, what? Obadiah, Obadiah." My life goes on. Da, 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 da. Yeah. And Bo-Katan, and I have to point out a costuming thing, which indicates how much Ahsoka has been hanging out with Bo-Katan. They are wearing virtually the same headband of material, just a different shape. They even have the like two little things on the side of like highlights. They're like wearing the same headband.
I wish we'd gotten to see that scene where they went to go get their
They went
hair
to the space mall.
The Ardenne.
They went to Space Ardenne and got or Claire's or whatever your accessory
winners
store of choice is and picked up matching headbands.
If you go to Claire's, you're gonna get unicorn rainbow everything. So
yeah, it's like Claire's. It was definitely like a metallic, and then there was like those orange two bars on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but matching headbands was definitely a best friend look. Ahsoka accepted the headband that matches Bo-Katan's, so we know that they're on that kind of level, which is cool. I just think that shows, because especially with her attitude and how much she is defending Bo-Katan against Anakin and Obi-Wan, like it definitely shows like either how close they've gotten over the last little while or how much she believes in this cause.
Yeah, there's like a deleted scene where Bo-Katan's like, Death Watch is no longer, we're now... the headband brigade, and I want to make sure that we're equal ranks so that you have as loud a voice in the headband brigade, which is called the HBB, just, you know, and then they both got the exact same size of headband paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Because they're equals in rank.
Yeah. And Bo-Katan definitely respects Ahsoka a lot.
Totally.
Which is good. Yeah. So Obi-Wan is convinced at least enough to take it to the Jedi Council. And
then he's told not to.
Well, he doesn't really have time. So, and Anakin leads Ahsoka off to a gift. He's super excited. Like, how they did the animation of him to make, and Matt Lanter, like, doing the voice acting was just amazing. He plays Anakin in the cartoon. And they just, like, it, like, the joy leaked through.
He's almost bouncing. Screen.
Yeah, he's almost bouncing. Like, he's so excited. And
oh, and you see that Rex has had the box the entire time. And Rex is standing there and he gets to do his big reveal with one hand behind his back the whole time.
Yes. So we...
Which is another deleted scene I wanted to see. Because I really wanted to be like, okay, hold this behind your back until I ask for it.
We go back to a different hangar.
Yeah.
And we see that the particular... squad that Ahsoka had been in charge of previously, of the 501st, had painted all of their helmets with Ahsoka's exact orange coloring and white markings. What did you think of this scene, Robs?
I was like, dang, that's messy. Y'all need to like work on your paint jobs.
Well, they didn't have a lot of time.
I know.
Like maybe they had like an hour.
And there was only one orange crayon.
Just the one.
That's a lot of work. Okay. My true question is, how do they get it off?
They don't.
They don't.
It's part stayed. Of their armor.
Literally forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're now like, they were trying to represent that they belonged to Ahsoka and that she was their leader. And she was hesitant to this, like, walking to the hangar. She's like, no, they don't need to call me commander. Don't need to do that. I'm not their commander.
It's a sign of respect
for
all the sacrifices you made for them along the way.
Yeah.
We don't care you left us.
Yeah, they don't care. Because to them, she left the Jedi Order. She didn't leave them.
Yeah, and like with the clones, loyalty is super important. Yeah, brothers, it right?
Means everything.
Like the sacrifices that people make on the battlefield never leave their mind. And so like Ahsoka being this young woman who's basically been raised by all of these people is very unique. Raised and also had to lead. Like, that's hard.
Yep.
Man, I cannot imagine leading a bunch of my family members. That would be really hard.
Also, how many battalions are there?
At least 501.
So Cody's is the 212.
Yes.
And I don't know who the commander of the 501st is. I know who the commander
it's Anakin.
Of half the 501st is.
No, Anakin isn't in charge of the entire 501st.
I thought that...
It's the blue battalion.
Yeah.
Is entirely Anakin's because he's a general.
But Obi-Wan's a general, and I thought his was the 212.
Yeah.
But Cody was the one who's commander of the 212.
Yes. But so I think Obi-Wan is in charge of more than just one battalion.
Probably.
Yeah.
Who I don't think anybody really spent a lot of time diarizing these things.
It's just so like the history of the 501st is like the costuming group, the 501st, created this name because they wanted to be the under Vader, the battalion that Vader controls. And so they called themselves the 501st Legion. And so when they dress up like stormtroopers, they represent Vader, right? When they're dressing up as stormtroopers. And they created this whole costuming group that does things for charity. Eventually, Timothy Zahn actually made them in canon Vader's fist. So like they became Vader's in canon. And then from then on in the Clone Wars and other properties, especially the video games, anything that's associated with Vader's battalion is called the 501st. And it started with Anakin's battalion. Now we know that.
We saw people from the 501st at Gen Con.
Yes.
It all makes sense now.
Well, it still doesn't make sense to me because I didn't know who the commander of the entire battalion was. And now this gigantic battalion is cut in half.
Yes. And Anakin's like, I'll cut it in half and make Rex a person. Couldn't we find out that, first the scene where Obi-Wan, we hear the noise with the klaxon.
Mm-hmm. That was a good klaxon.
It was good? Yeah. Okay, cool. So we hear the klaxon. Obi-Wan comes in running in. When does Obi-Wan run?
At the beginning of the episode.
Fine. Okay. very rarely does he run. He comes in and he's like, we gotta go. Anakin, everybody round up. We're heading to Coruscant. And Ahsoka's like, what are you doing? Like, we need you. This is important. Okay, I have a couple of questions. Her best friends from recent episodes, which some time probably has passed, live on Coruscant. Yeah. Is she not concerned about them?
I think she's also thinking like, why do you need to rush to Coruscant? Coruscant's well defended and heavily protected.
It's the center of the Republic.
It's everything that like, even if they did a spearhead attack, it's not going to generate or do anything. There's literally no one helping Mandalore.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the people need us. Oh, certainly. No, I think there's a lot in that. And also...
But it's also at the same time, like, you said I could borrow the car.
Yeah.
You and said, now you say you say you need it?
Yeah.
I need the car. I promised my friends I'd take them out for our camping trip.
This is really important.
This is super important to me.
Yeah.
You're a liar.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of that betrayal emotion coming up in Ahsoka, right? Because of how she was betrayed by the Jedi Council. And she's definitely, it's coming to the forefront in how Ahsoka views, especially the Chancellor, to blame the Jedi Council and the Chancellor and what he represents to blame for her situation. So there's a lot of resentment, anger, and hate, mm-hmm. I think, coming through in Ahsoka, which is fascinating because, you know, these emotions aren't necessarily corrupting her. They are just driving her to do what's right.
How dare you pick the person who is well secured over your daughter?
Moms make the tough choices.
Yeah. But
especially when klaxons are blaring in the background.
Yeah. But I mean, Anakin needs to make that choice too. Like, he knows Palpatine is important to him mm-hmm. personally. And so it's like his father figure or his daughter.
Yadada.
So I have a couple other things about this scene that I want to talk about too. I think all of that's relevant, but I also want to talk about Rex. Because man, did he get done dirty again. Man, literally, he's getting promoted out of convenience.
I know.
Like, we'll just cut in half and put Rex in charge of my half. Sounds good.
But really, Ahsoka's in charge. Wink.
And it's like Rex, when they're like, by the way, Rex, now you're in charge of half a battalion. You're a commander. oh, we don't even get that scene. So we never get to see Rex get promoted. We don't, like, I was so sad for Rex. He did this huge, beautiful thing. They all get their
He's too humble.
Painted orange. Ugh. All right. Well, Commander Rex, I salute you. And we get some advice from Obi-Wan in regards to Maul.
Oh, yeah. This is interesting. So they're leaving.
Lock him up. He doesn't seem to die.
Yeah.
Yes. He doesn't seem to want to stay dead. I killed Maul once.
Yeah. I recommend
it's best capturing to him. Capture
yeah.
him.
Yeah. And some people on Twitter were pointing out that this feels like foreshadowing, like he might quote unquote die again and not die.
Again, man?
Yeah.
How many revives does he got?
Agreed.
I mean, we know he doesn't die because we know A, he's in Rebels, we know he's in Solo, we know when he actually does die, Obi-Wan kills him.
I forgot he was in Solo.
I just want to see Kira and Maul together. Like, I want a show. Like, just all that underworld stuff.
I want Ahsoka and Sabine together. I want them running around doing stuff together. That's what I want.
I mean, we know that that's happening, quote unquote. We just don't know when.
How long does Ahsoka live?
Forever.
Oh, right. She can't die.
She doesn't actually
Stop live it, Dave Filoni. For- Get out of my daughter.
But, like, she also, because of where she came from and where she was, we know that she just lives in the important moments in time.
Yeah.
She'll die when nothing important happens.
Okay. So then this scene's also relevant, too, because Obi-Wan's like, Anakin's like, well, we should go. And Obi-Wan's like, no, we can't make, but isn't this important to you? It's Mandalore. It's Maul. And Obi-Wan's like, no, that's why I will let the council make the decision, because this is an important and emotional thing for me. And if I'm the relevant party to go and deal with it, then that would be the choice. I won't make this choice because I'm too personally connected to
it.
I'm a good Jedi. And a good warrior. I will make the right decisions based on the counsel of my elders. And Anakin's good- like, what is wrong with you?
And a good husband.
This is, Obi-Wan is the king of conflict of interest negotiations. Being like, oh my god, I have a conflict of interest, I need to recuse myself to the council. And makes- you know what, that kind of sucks. It kind of sucks, but you know what, it is actually a very important thing to do, is to recuse yourself from emotional choices. Unfortunately, sometimes the people that are in charge of the decisions are also compromised by different sets of desires and things that we can't always see.
Yep, motivating factors.
So sometimes when you recuse yourself, you're recusing yourself to the council of people that aren't necessarily thinking about the people's best interests.
So with that in mind, I was like, oh damn, is this show actually led us to the point and Bo-Katan has revealed this information to Ahsoka in order to pull Obi-Wan there, and Bo-Katan is working with Maul.
Oh, interesting.
Because it was very possible that that was the case. They'd worked together before, and we didn't know that they weren't working together any longer.
Oh, interesting.
So I was like, I had this sudden, like, light bulb go off in the first time we're watching the episode, and I was like, is Bo-Katan, is this all been a big play? Because Maul's whole goal in all of this, kill Obi-Wan.
Yeah, this was definitely some sort of ploy to bring Obi-Wan there.
Ah, Obi-Wan Kenobi, he loves Mandalore, and he loved a woman on Mandalore, and therefore I will bring Kenobi to Mandalore.
Yes, exactly.
JK, no, you get Ahsoka.
Yeah. And Maul's like, damn it! Where is my brother, Savage? I want to beat him because I'm angry.
He dead.
Yes.
Aww.
Who dead? Ooh, what?
Savage, who was just a good boy. Good boy.
He had anger issues.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Wait, is it the yellow one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Clancy Brown.
All right. So we get this final moment with the box finally being revealed as he's like trying to give her the box.
Lightsabers.
And we get the lightsabers. And I love this. I love this moment because it's like, and I made them better. Like,
I took care of them for you.
I took care of them for you. Which is, you know, Anakin's
good as new.
Dad, it's like
maybe better.
It's like them. It's like when you're a child and you like leave your house and then your parents like make sure your room is picked is like perfect when you leave, and when you come back it's like, dang, this is cleaner than when I left.
Correct.
Exactly like that.
Dang.
However, she's like, but I kind of liked yellow and green. Like, you can kind of see a little, like, he changed the color of the the Kyber.
It's like mine now.
See?
Pew pew.
You're me. You're me. See?
No, you don't want to be him. He's evil.
No.
Well, he's
explain Darth Vader.
He's getting there.
Well, he's not quite
explain
there yet.
Explain Darth Vader.
So, yeah, so she sees, but they are awesome. Because Anakin, you know, as a mechanical adept who can basically make anything awesome, makes them awesome. But
C-3PO.
They weren't hers,
mm-hmm.
which is also important. C-3PO was awesome.
Yeah. That I was just listing his accomplishments.
Okay. Just C-3PO. Check. You know, he keeps R2-D2 in shape, all the ships. Just in general, he's awesome. His pod, etc. Okay. So,
Mandalore. We're done the second act of this. We now have our motivation. We now have our destination and our objective.
A little bit of a musical cue that's actually from the beginning of Revenge of the Sith. It is the play of the martial version of the Force theme, which plays during basically the Coruscant battle. And so it's to tell you, like, subconsciously, if you don't know the music, that this is happening at the same time as the battle over Coruscant.
Yep.
So we have a time clock as far as when these things are happening.
Mom,
mm-hmm.
When you're talking about Order 66, I thought you were going to be like Order 666.
Yeah, you know, you're not wrong. There's reasons for why 66 is relevant. So, yeah.
Yep.
It is not the first order or the final order either.
It's
somewhere in between.
What's with all the orders, Palps? I just
he's only made three. I don't know what you're talking about.
The ticketing system was broken.
I know. Right? He had one of you Laren's reject apprentices.
It's like just randomly putting in numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
So they enter into the Mandalorian. I don't know if this is actually Mandalore or just like a sub planet. I didn't know if that was very clear.
It looks like the Mandalorian place when they enter.
But it looked desert-like, and then they entered a city which had specifically like a force field over top of it, which is not the main city in Mandalore.
It is not a main city in Mandalore.
Yeah, it was definitely a
sub-city.
Yeah.
But they knew Maul was there.
Yeah, because
of communicate. They had to lock the city down.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you do that? I guess it's the force field.
I guess, yeah.
But they locked down the whole city to trap Maul.
But they
there.
Knew they couldn't hold him for long.
Okay, Maul is evil, y'all. Don't underestimate the
he's a baby.
Things you need to take.
He was abused his whole life. Did he ever really have a choice?
I still don't like him.
So Maul himself isn't evil, but Maul's end goals and how he goes about achieving them are definitely selfish and to the detriment of others.
Mm-hmm.
He uses other people for his own purposes and never does anything altruistically, which is without self-interest or motivation. So I don't like using the word evil either because I think it just whitewashes everything about it. If we look at what Maul does, sometimes Maul acts and it seems to be a good act.
Yep.
A lot of the stuff he did with Ezra seem to actually show genuine compassion.
But in the end, it's
all
selfish.
With a selfish intent. He only does good things, as we judge good things to be, for his own purposes.
And this is something that aligns to what George Lucas and Dave Filoni will talk about, which is that the dark side is really just acting for selfish reasons, and the light side is acting for selfless reasons or trying to you know, do things for others. And from a force perspective, it's actually more, you know, it feels good to take things from others and to force people to do things for others, but it's more like pleasure. It's like, you know, this quick hit of like, yes, I got my way. Yes. Whereas if you're trying to do things for others, or you're trying to create, or you're trying to make the world a better place, you're seeking joy, right? Rather than pleasure. And that's the difference. So when you create art for others, Robs, you're like trying to make other people happy and yourself. And that's good.
So Mandalore. Here we are on Mandalore.
Just eyebrows. Fight.
I was going to be like, well, at least you didn't kill Kenobi.
No.
True.
So the Mandalore fight, they have the, it's a quick battle cut back and forth of all the different things that they're doing. And we see the cool, I forget the character's name. The guy with the horns on his helmet.
Gar Saxon.
Is that Gar Saxon?
Well, Gar Saxon seems to be one of the main fighter guys for Maul.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of Pre Vizsla's main officers. Pre Vizsla seemed to have two main officers. It's either Root or Rook. I think it's Root and Gar Saxon. And Gar Saxon is now working for Almec, which I just have to say, dude, why are there so many white dudes in power? White male, white masculine dudes in power in Star Wars. It's just like everywhere. That's all I have to say about that. Moving on. Almec's an idiot.
They represent the patriarchy.
Ugh.
Okay. So they fight their way through the city. They realize that they cannot hold the city for long. They make it all the way to the, they split up. Bo-Katan off on her own trying to get Almec, and Ahsoka trying to find Maul, because really the only one that can really face Maul is Ahsoka.
Yeah, no, there's no other Jedi here to find not Darth. So, but I want to ask, Robin, how cool was the race to the surface between Rex and Ahsoka?
Oh yeah, this scene that you pointed out.
Is cool.
How cool?
11 out of 10.
Wow.
Was there like 66?
Was there a moment with Ahsoka where she was like super kick ass?
When she unlocked the guy who was going to crash.
Oh, wait, when she jumped on the ship and cut him out? And then he was like, thank you!
What battalion is he in? He's wearing a green helmet.
No, so
didn't
all.
You get the message, dude? Well, we're wearing orange now.
Or us. Yeah, there's a lot of colors. No, like the pilots are always colored differently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're part of the Navy, not the Army.
That man is going to join the Orange Squad.
He, if he lives, yes. I think he did.
Yay!
Thank you.
Yeah.
My favorite part was when she landed with such force, she put her two lightsabers behind her and dragged them through.
Like to stop herself.
And then came to stand at her feet.
Yeah, so I actually have the poster from Celebration. That was the poster with her, the lightsabers, and the fire behind her was the poster from Celebration.
I was like, cool. That's such a cliche, y'all.
Well, it was a superhero-ish landing.
Superhero pose.
Yeah.
Jedi are superheroes.
They are, yeah.
That has been true since the Phantom Menace.
My favorite scene actually was when they start, like, the Mandalorian, local Mandalorians were attacking the gunship.
I called them Red Mandos.
Maul's Mandos. Maul's Mandos attacked the...
What art of that now?
Maul's Mandos.
Can I
versus
please,
the Bad Batch.
Can I make...
Just like a Maul fist with like Maul's Mandos.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can totally make it.
I want to make a chibi Maul like...
presenting his...
Look at my Mandos. Arms out in the air,
and
pointing towards them.
And the guy with the spike and the glowies is just sitting on the M of... Maul's
Mandos.
Maul's like, hey guys, we gotta go this way, and they all reply, this is the way.
So this is the way. I will be super interested to hear if we hear any kind of things from the Mandalorian. It will be really interesting to see hear things. I liked when they first were attacked in the gunship and we just see Ahsoka like be kick-ass, like just you know, her fighting style, how smooth the animation was. It was probably the smoothest fight we have seen in the whole show. So they've really spent a lot of time with this. And I know that they did motion capture for a lot of the lightsaber stuff. Specifically with Maul, we're going to probably see it because they brought in Ray Park, who played Maul in The Phantom Menace. Okay, so we hear something is happening in the sewers, and Rex and Ahsoka.
Before that, though, there was like this scene. I want to go back to that Almec scene because there was a couple things that were really important to me. Because at one point, Almec says, Rook informed the syndicate of the invasion.
Oh, interesting.
Which is like, if you go back to season 5, they're not happy. Like, Pre Vizsla does not want to bring on Crimson Dawn and join an alliance with their battalion. That is now fully in effect. They are all, you know,
and the syndicate itself is like this big, you know, interconnection between all of the different crime groups.
Including Mandalore now.
Yeah, including...
Like, official Mandalore.
Yeah.
Almec is the leader.
Yep.
And he...
Did you like how his armor was basically Boba Fett's armor?
Yeah, I was actually wrote that down. His helmet looks almost exactly like Boba Fett's helmet.
And the breastplate, too, was green and kind of gave that vibe.
Made me really wonder, how does Almec tie to Boba Fett? Which is just interesting.
I don't know.
What?
I know.
Oh, yeah. So we hear that there's something going on in the sewers. They go after that... rumor, Rex and a group of her clones, and they are not in a good situation. It is definitely a trap because clones are dropping left, right, and center. We have this like amazing moment where a clone falls and she holds out her hand and they hold hands as he's like dying. And
God, it looked like Rex.
Yeah.
No, right?
But it was just another captain because he had the captain shoulder.
Yeah.
They were teasing us.
Yeah.
No Rex death.
Yeah.
Well, that's not possible.
And we have her surrounded.
You know, Maul dies. People can be brought back to life.
Okay. Well, they're not going to kill him now because we've seen in other episodes, there's no purpose to that. There would be no emotional connection because they've already shown us them alive later. So, but we also get the throne room scene.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, in my opinion, the best scene.
Okay.
Because Bo-Katan is an ass kicker.
Yes, she is.
She's an ass kicker. She takes out 9 red Mandos pretty much by herself in a similar way to with which Ahsoka took down like all of those other red Mandos as she was falling. And we all know for a fact now that Bo shot first,
yes.
Almec's laying there, and she's like, tell me what I want to know. And he's like, and bam, she just shoots.
Your sister was always better at politics than you.
Yes. I don't think Bo-Katan cares. And I do want to say, like, Katie Sackhoff was super excited to come back as Bo-Katan. She was tweeting about it, you know.
Yeah.
Etc. And people are like arguing, these characters are arguing on Twitter, like Sam Witwer's like, the Darksaber is mine, and like Katie's like, I'm gonna be the ruler again. And it's like, people, and then we know, you know, from The Mandalorian who has the Darksaber now, so it's like,
I know,
yeah, so it's like people are literally like, what is going on behind the scenes, because there's stories that haven't been told, and that to me is actually really interesting.
It's super cool. I'm super excited. But I think that whole entire scene is just to ensure to us, hey, Bo's actually on Ahsoka's side.
Yes, because then she tries...
saw it from the headband, but this is actual plotting because...
She tries to contact her.
Almec says, you brought the wrong one.
Yeah.
So Bo didn't know. Bo was literally led into a trap, essentially, to... lure in, and was a patsy for Almec and Maul, and that makes me happy because I like Bo-Katan.
Yeah, and I hope that they find a way to, if she hasn't died, to bring her into the Mandalorian. I think that would be just really amazing to actually have Bo-Katan still be around and played by Katie Sackhoff with a red wig.
And there's some cool things about Maul having metal legs, because now we get to have
clunk.
The Maul approach,
clunk,
which is just like
clunk.
Mom's
clunk
come from a recording session, and she's coming downstairs to talk to us. We all know Mom is coming, so in this instance, you all know when Maul is coming.
Yes, and we get the most dramatic. Kyle, do you want to do an impression of what Maul says?
Why are you here?
Yes.
Ooh, where perfect. Is? Kenobi.
Which should be the next line. Yes. No, it's perfect. He's in shadow and he comes forward and you can see his eyes.
Stand. I swiped right and he's not here.
I ordered an Uber Eats. And I wanted to eat Kenobi for lunch.
I want my Kenobi kebabs.
I want my Obi-Wan cannoli.
Nice.
That's not funny.
Yes, it is.
I really like the scene where she's like holding lightsabers like somebody's going to shoot her.
You're right.
And she's like turning
when she's
around.
Yeah. When she's surrounded. Yeah, that was really good.
And then there's like the one exit and then Maul just like enters.
Enters dramatically. What a dramatic boy. Right?
Boy.
Okay.
Okay. So we've reached the end.
Yes. Do we want to do the death count?
Sure. Let's do the death count. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I regret to inform you that we had three different groupings of people perish this in
during the Clone Wars this episode. Yes.
So there were Mandalorians, there were clone troopers, and there were droids.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the lowest death count, do you think?
Oh, boy.
Boy.
Clone troopers.
Nope.
Oh, no.
It was the Mandos. Oh. The red Mandos explicitly, but I've combined all Mandos together.
Okay.
23 Mandalorian deaths.
Wow.
This episode 23.
And then clones?
Important to note, everyone who gets killed or dies is wearing a helmet too, or is a droid. That is something that's been very clearly articulated dramatically and artistically throughout almost all of Clone Wars.
People, except for when Anakin kills people, because then no, but,
well,
you see the whites of their eyes.
Sometimes. Anyway, so 23 Mandos, and there were 31 droids.
Okay.
And including the one tactical droid.
21.
And the one ball droid, ball walker droid.
Mm-hmm. The spider droid.
Then there was actually 31 clone troopers that we saw die this
wow.
episode as well. On top of that, I want to say that the clone troopers we suffered more because there was one clone trooper carrier that we saw explode. We didn't see anybody, though, in the explosion, but we should know there was probably at least three, the pilot, the two gunners, and then everybody inside mm-hmm. it. So clones definitely seem to have lost more this episode, but they did take out more of the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
There you
Man.
Go.
Man. No, you gonna make me cry.
Yes.
Yes.
Cry.
Now, I mentioned a character called Rook. Rook informed the syndicate of the invasion.
Yes.
Do you know who does the voice of Rook?
I don't. Who?
It's, she doesn't, I do believe she only has the one line, which was, are you ready?
She was the cool female Mando red.
Yeah.
Mando's, Maul's Mando's.
Yes.
Yes.
And she is played by Vanessa Marshall.
Oh, Vanessa Marshall.
Friend of the show.
Who has been on the show before, which is lovely. I'm so happy that she got to actually play a character. Maybe she'll get more lines in the next few episodes.
I would think that you're going to bring on somebody like Vanessa Marshall to do a small character.
Vanessa Marshall plays Hera in Rebels.
I know that.
Whoa.
Nice.
Whoa.
Salt is good.
All right.
It's like salty. Crate salt there.
Like,
salty.
Like, Mom, I live in this household. You talked about her a lot.
And you remember who plays Gar Saxon, right?
No.
Yeah, you have seen him a great deal. He is from the TV show Rome that we liked so much.
Oh.
It is Ray Stevenson.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Gar Saxon. And Almec is played by Julian Holloway.
I don't know who that is.
Almec's been in a ton of episodes.
I mean, he was in a ton from the Clone Wars.
His other key appearance at Julian Holloway is he plays the admiral who's on the ship responsible for the younglings. When they did the youngling episodes, and then when the ship explodes, he like, nope, I'm a good naval officer. I will go down with the ship, and then dies for what is really no reason whatsoever. There you go. Those are your three actors who we have not seen much this season from. This episode was directed by Saul Ruiz, written and executive director, written by Dave Filoni, who is also the executive director, which I just believe he's the executive director for the entire four episode arc, because it's like a movie.
Yeah. And I mean, I think he's just taking a heavier hand. And there was a report that came out that George watched early versions of every episode and would comment to Dave and give him feedback, etc.
That's awesome.
And he's been very much enjoying it. So, George Lucas, stamp of approval.
Since we're talking about death scenes, there was a preview that came out this week for the new cartoon Star Wars. What's it called again? It has kind of
random. A Galaxy of Adventure.
And I'll just point out, since we're on the topic of death count, it's a 30-second trailer.
Yes.
Kylo Ren kills 9 human beings in this trailer. 9.
Yeah, so that's actually just a mini short that is specifically targeted for Star Wars kids. It doesn't go on the main Star Wars channel. It is only on Star Wars Kids.
What is wrong with you? He kills 9 people. They're not wearing helmets. One of them he stabs right through the chest.
It's bananas. I
hate it so much.
Yeah.
I literally loathe it to death. Anyway, that was topic of death count.
It's not even from the movies. 9. Like it's like something that's like, you know, there wasn't even any resistance people on Pazana. He shows up. He doesn't actually kill any, but like, where is this from? I don't know. It seems out of character too.
The minds of someone, for sure, because mm-hmm. it drove me bananas. Like, it was like there were Ninja Turtles, but they're the Knights of Ren. They're the Ninja Turtles of Ren. And we're just going to kill a bunch of bad guys. But actually, you know what? We're the bad guys. And then it's not even going to be catered to kids, because we're literally going to show us.
The only time that they've shown something very similar to that has actually been the Darth Vader 2015 comic, when they did a Vader Down special and he actually fights. And it's very similar to that experience where Vader faces off and basically the rebels are like surrounding him and he basically slaughters like 100 people.
Yeah.
That it's very similar and reminiscent of that.
But
that was a comic not in a kid's show. Like a kid's short. Like, it's bizarro. I don't know.
You want to put somebody like Kylo Ren in a kid's show, you go watch X-Men Evolution and watch what Wolverine does, because not once does he use his big 3-clawed hands to stab directly through people's chests. He never does that in X-Men Evolution. And if he ever did do something like that, it was off screen and it was possibly alluded to. But he always used his claws to cut guns, cut away ropes, cut through walls or doors. He never used them on physical people. And here we get flaming red lightsabers through the chest. That's my little soapbox. I'm gonna put it away.
All right, let's go into production.
I want to talk about the art department.
Yay, art department!
Specifically 3 people. Killian Plunkett, the art director. Paul Zinnes, the director of digital assets. And Jillian Gumpner, who is the asset tech director.
Mm-hmm.
These 3 figures are responsible and in these roles for this entire season. They have been working with Star Wars in a variety of different degrees for many years. Killian Plunkett is from Ireland. He came over to Star Wars a long time ago in 2008. He was a modeler. Oh no, I'm looking at another person. Killian Plunkett came over from Dark Horse Comics. Mm. He's from Ireland. He did all 9 eps of this. He did 70 episodes of Rebels, and he's been in the art department for a ton as the lead designer. And this is his big step up to the art director position. Do you want to know what an art director does?
Yes.
Yep.
So the art director is responsible for the executive and continuity of the creative vision of the show. So they are responsible for the whole production looking a certain way, having a certain aesthetic and a certain style. And I think that's oversight all the way down from the top, because whoever is responsible for communicating and articulating that vision, you would note that Clone Wars has been very similar all throughout. Rebels even has a similar animation and style. And then when we got our Disney Infinity stuff, all of that seems very reminiscent and very physically connected too. Because if you look at the figurine from Disney Infinity that we have of Obi-Wan, it's very similar to the Obi-Wan from Clone Wars themselves. So they make sure that they keep that vision and the continuity of it throughout very, very clearly done. How do they do that? That leads us to the director of digital assets, Paul Zinnes. And it seems like a weird title. But what this means is that, let's talk about Paul himself. So Paul has done all 9 episodes as the director of digital assets. He did 20 episodes of Clone Wars as the director of digital assets supervisor, and was the DA supervisor for Resistance, and 69 episodes of Rebels. So he is well entrenched and established with Lucasfilm Animation all along. What that role is and why it's so important is because they curate, organize, document, catalog, and they manage all of the digital assets. So every file that's related to a character has to be organized.
Or equipment or background or anything that they create.
Yes. And this is really important when it comes to like settings. So now we're here on Mandalore. What does the planet of Mandalore look like? Where are the files for that? What are the star structure of the space
around
Mandalore?
What can they use again, especially like gunships? Because everything has to be created.
Yeah.
So if they can use it again, they try to. So sometimes you'll see, oh, hey, they're using the same kind of background extras, especially like Coruscant. You'll see a lot of the background extras be the same because every background extra they've had to create.
Yes. And every ship they have to create. And so these ships that we see in this scene, in this season of The Mandalorians, we're also seeing those in season 5. When Pre Vizsla and all that other stuff is going on, the same ships that do the sort of spinning thing that also Slave One does have. I just kind of wish, I thought Slave One was a Mandalorian type ship. I just have never seen any other Mandalorian style ships that look at all like
Slave One. Well, the Fets aren't actually Mandalorian. They just stole the armor, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, Boba Fett was, or sorry, Jango Fett wasn't a Mandalorian. He just has the armor.
Huh. I don't know. That's not really clearly laid out in the movies at all, but huh.
I mean, unless they decide to change that.
It'd be cool if they did, but I don't really care either way. So the asset tech director, Julian Gumpner, who is from Germany and as well did a whole bunch of episodes in Clone Wars as the set dress guy, the modeling guy, the rigging guy, texturing guy, 54 episodes of doing all of these different sundry tasks has led to him being the asset technical director. And he's in charge of pulling those assets from the vault and putting them into their proper placing and scenes, and getting all of the people who do all of the actual CGI work to implement those things. And there's your three-person art department. Now,
it kind of sounds like the Holocron Keeper, like Lilin Chi, but for the animation. Like,
yeah, it really
does,
like, doesn't it?
Does this already exist? Because they can save a lot of money each season if they're able to not have to recreate models from scratch. But they've had to, like, for all the people models, they've had to redo them, I think, because they're all so animated well.
Or add to them, because they now have that graphical power
to do them.
To do those things. To
and, like, the hair moves and, like, the faces are, like, actually, oh, so beautiful.
So if you ever wanted to be a director of digital assets, Robin, do you want to know what skills you'd have in order to be good at that job?
Sure.
So you would need to have some good technical skills, which means programming and developing stuff in software. So you knew how to talk to the people who were going to implement that for you. You'd need to be very analytical and in order to compartmentalize and put all of those creative things together to explain yourself to people. You'd need to be good at project management, because every single creation of a scene, every new character is like a new project. And then you'd have to have good attention to detail, be good at data entry, because they're going to be responsible for putting together all of those lists and Excel spreadsheets about where those files are stored and what files there are and how many there are. You would then also need to be good at communicating, because one of the things that the digital asset director needs to do is they need to then talk to the executive, the creatives, the director himself and the writer, get all of that piece there, and then articulate that vision to all of the artists. And so you would need to have a lot of empathy, good communication skills, and be very flexible. It's definitely an aspiration job. Becoming the director of digital assets, an art director or an asset tech director, is definitely a high-end goal.
Animation job, yeah.
These people have worked up very hard to get to where they are now. And I've been very impressed with their teamwork.
Well, thank you for that. So the next episode is going to be episode 10 in season 7, The Phantom Apprentice.
Ooh. Rhymes with Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it says, Ahsoka and Republic forces confront Maul on Mandalore. So, thank you both for joining me in this Clone Wars special report. Thank you, Robin. Do you have any final words?
It was fun. I might do this again.
Okay. Well, you're welcome back. If you watch the episode, you can come and join us again for the conversation.
I'm going to rewatch the episode because it was good.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, say that again because you can't talk while moving a mic.
I'm probably going to rewatch the episode again because it was good.
Yeah. Does it make you more interested in watching The Mandalorian to, like, see all the Mandalorian stuff?
Every time I watched The Mandalorian, I would fall asleep, so, you know.
So that's a maybe.
Maybe.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Okay, Dad. I mean, Mom. I mean, Obi-Wan. All right, so how did you feel about this episode overall?
Yeah, I'm excited. This is great. I can't wait for the next three to be done and then watch them all as like a movie, because it was great. I think I'm going to watch this entire season again. And that's saying a lot, because how often do I rewatch things?
Never.
Ever. I don't even like watching movies I love to death more than a couple of times. Don't think I could ever watch Phantom Menace again without feeling like I'm just wasting my time.
Oh, I'm not that way.
No.
My mom rewatches a million things.
Yeah, no, I'm very much excited to see especially this arc in the whole season again. And I might start a Clone Wars rewatch after it's all done, which would be a lot of fun. Or even head into Rebels again, because that's kind of the next
thing. Do it again.
I love Rebels.
Rebels for the fourth time, right?
Now. I know.
A horror. I'm excited because I feel like this is 12 episodes and this is a good team of people. Like the editor, Nate Cormier, and these art directors, they have the main directors and writers. This is an established group. They're here and they're ready to pump out material. That this is a 12 episode and then done.
Yeah. There was a tweet from the animation department saying that, don't worry, Lucasfilm Animation is busy working on fun stuff. So.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that they do more in this style, in this vein, going forward, because
it's beautiful.
This is gorgeous TV that needs to just continue to be created in the Star Wars universe.
I liked the Resistance style. I know lots of people didn't, but I like cel shading. And
I think the Resistance style in some ways was just a continuation of this stuff too.
I guess. I mean, it's flat, right? So that's different. But.
No, give me more of this.
Sorry.
Give me more Hondo.
Yes. We need Hondo back, so if you can.
I want my space pirate.
I would like a Kira and Maul show. I think that would be really cool.
Kira, Maul, and Hondo.
Well, Underworld,
who is
right?
Hondo?
Hondo. He's the space pirate guy. Kind of always looks like an old person from Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yeah, he's from Clone Wars and Rebels, and he's like, Ezra, my friend! Or Anakin, my friend!
What?
You're going to do Hondo?
Sure. He's voiced by Jim Cummings, and he's the guy that does Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and Minsk and Boo. And I'm just stalling because it's hard to think about the voice when I haven't been thinking about Hondo.
Dad's been thinking about Maul constantly.
Me one one, guys, all I want to say. And I know.
My friends, it is so good to see you again.
Just sounds like Benson.
Well, Benson from Tavern Tales is my Hondo voice. But Hondo is always like super excitable and seems happy-go-lucky. So there's a lot of Benson in Hondo and a lot of Hondo in Benson. But there you go.
The Jedi. Rulers of the galaxy and...
Say, why be a Jedi when you can be a pirate Jedi?
Why be a Jedi when you can be a pirate Jedi?
Exactly, yeah.
Come, Ezra, I will tell you all of the ways to be a man.
To be a pirate king.
For I am the pirate king.
Suddenly we break out into like Pirates of Penzance.
Space Pirates of Penzance.
Space Pirates of Penzance, yeah. Excellent. So thank you again for hanging out with us for this Clone Wars special report on Old Friends Not Forgotten. Old Friends Not Forgotten. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to What the Force. I'm Marie-Claire Gould, your host. Our music is orchestral music composed by Christy Carew for What the Force. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/whattheforce. We'd like to thank all our patrons, especially those who love and are obsessed with What the Force. Melody, Night Huntress, In Wild Space, Susan, Jessica, Brad, Anna Perez, Macau Mom, Neil, and James. Make sure you like and subscribe on your podcast app of choice or on YouTube. Leaving a 5-star review on iTunes helps other people find the show. You can connect with us on Twitter at What the Force Show, What the Force Podcast on Facebook, or on our website, whattheforce.ca. We also have a new Discord. Links are available in the liner notes. Feel free to reach out and start a conversation. Cheers.